Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, a few minutes past 6 p.m. Finally, Rachel's asking the right question about COVID. Where have all the nuns gone?
What's going on with the nuns? I like nuns. They're fascinating to me. And last year, I feel like I read this great article about this woman who was like a collegiate athlete and had everything going for her, and she wanted to become a nun, and she became one of the most like strict nuns on the planet. And these nuns don't sleep for more than 4 hours at a time. They get up every 4 hours and like pray and sweep the floor or something. They can only see their family members once a year through a screen. They like
every nun?
This is the strict covenant.
This is the top line nun.
Yes. So I was fascinated by that. I'm like, they're choosing to never sleep for more than 4 hours, like to serve God. I think it's really cool. Obviously, that is not my lifestyle. I have so much respect for the people who can do that, especially like the top tier nuns like that. Last night, trying to fall asleep, can't fall asleep. And I remember this lady. And then I thought to myself, what's going on with nuns in general? I never see any. I'm not Catholic. I don't hang around Catholic churches, but I don't like ever see a nun out or anything. And I feel like when I was a child, it was more common to be like aware of them and things. So I did some Googling last night.
That's a dangerous Google search.
Oh, no, I've lost it. Hold on. Give me a sec. Anyway, back in like the 60s, there were 180,000 nuns in the U.S. alone. Now there's only like 30,000. So there's this sharp decline going on.
I keep trying to come up with, like, there are none.
There are none to be
nuns?
Found.
None. Like, I'm trying, and I can't.
Here we go.
I keep failing myself internally.
1965, there were 180,000 Catholic sisters in the United States. In 2019, there were just 31,350. The average age of a nun these days is 80 years old.
Damn.
So a lot of them are obviously elderly, and the Catholic Church is like facing this conundrum of like, we need nuns. But then you think to yourself, I'm just amazed that people are still entering that lifestyle in 2020. I have so much respect for it. I think it's so cool that they have that level of self-discipline, because it's not like, you know, in 1965, you were still sacrificing so much. Like, you're sacrificing ever getting married or having a baby or doing anything other than serving God and serving the church. Huge commitment. All the respect in the world. In 2020, you're giving up, like, all of this technology, all of these opportunities, all of this stuff. And women are still doing it, albeit at a much, you know, less rate than before, but it's just amazing to me. It's just something I like thinking about.
In your research.
Yes. One Fox News article, yes.
I don't even know if I've ever known the answer to this question. Like, every Catholic church has a priest. Does every church have a nun?
That is a great question.
No.
Or do I didn't think so, because I've been to a lot of Catholic churches and not sure I ever saw a nun. But do they, if you do want to become a nun, can you be a nun at your local church because you want to go to your church or your parish or whatever and serve them, or do you have to go other places? Like, can you be a
Florissant
nun if you want to be a Florissant nun?
This probably isn't going to help the conversation, but Tony, do you remember the boxing nun I had?
Yes.
The little puppet?
Uh-huh.
She was fun. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Had a little button on her back and made
I'm not sure.
The two.
I know that there aren't nuns for every church, because I've asked this of Ted, you know, Monsignor Ted, and Phoebe, who's Catholic, and the whole bit. But, Rach, I agree with you. I hadn't thought about it until you said it.
Does Phoebe have any nun teachers?
No. I don't believe so. No. I don't think she did it ICD either.
I'm trying to answer Tony's question of, like, because you think
you
with priests, I think priests can be like, hey, I want to be a priest in my hometown if there's an opening.
Yeah.
I think they have, okay, let me just completely spitball. I think that nuns live together, like priests do, and then they are assigned to XYZ.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like, gotcha. I am assigned to this hospital, I am assigned to this ministry, I'm assigned to this, I'm assigned to that.
So you can, like, request a ministry, but you're not guaranteed
I
to get it.
I think so. Yes.
And a priest can become a cardinal, and a cardinal can become a pope. Can,
right.
Is there a nun ascension?
I mean, there's mother superiors and things like that.
That's
I'm sure
right.
there's a hierarchy.
That's right. That's right.
Yep. I'm not sure what the highest
right.
nun is.
I'm just looking
I think
here.
There's also a pretty bad priest shortage as well.
Yeah. But at least, like, and if there are any nuns listening, this is the opposite of me, like, putting down your lifestyle. I have so much respect
for it. You've made that very clear.
But, like, when you're a priest, you're, like, the leader of the church. A nun, it seems like your entire life is servitude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, it's so cool to me and so crazy that it's, like, it's just something you take for granted. You don't think of it. But last night, I'm like, man, are there really people signing up? Wow, there are.
Yeah.
And it's way less than it used to be, but there's still young ladies making the decision of, like, I could, because that's the American way, right? Is like, it's my dream, it's my path, I can do anything I want to do if I put my mind to it, and it's all about me, me, me.
I know that they...
And they're making the opposite decision.
They took all of the girls to a convent in sixth grade or so, seventh grade, something like that, because I remember Phoebe going, and that was the whole thing. It was sort of like a recruiting thing, you know? Here's what it's like. Meet the nuns. Maybe you'd like to be a nun. And I asked Phoebe, and she was like, hell no. But that's, you know, they still do that.
Hmm.
I think they do the same thing with boys for the priesthood.
Hmm.
Again, not sure.
So interesting.
It is interesting.
You know, though, I couldn't do this, but I think it sounds more attractive to me now than it would have in 1965, because there's more to escape from.
That's a great point.
You know.
That's true.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think I could make it work. First of all, I think they would out me. you're Dave Clover. You're not a nun at all. But that appeals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it appeals until you're doing it and
sure.
the tremendous
until about
sacrifice.
Day three.
Man, because I'm sorry, I forget this woman's name that I read the article about last year. This is some intense stuff. Like I said, there's no. And on Saturdays, you get to do what you want. Every single day of their lives, they are waking up every 4 hours in the night to, like, do a chore, get on their knees and pray, all of this. You don't have contact with your family members.
Yeah.
Once a year, they can come see you through a screen. So, like, this woman that I read the article about was so close-knit with her family and loved athletics and all this stuff, and she moves across the world and has no contact with them. And that's what she wanted to do with her life.
Just the other day, we were talking about when Tom Turbach's dad passed away, we went to the funeral, and it was outdoors right there at that Catholic church at 270 in Olive. And Tom had introduced me to, I forget her name, I apologize, someone out there will know, but she was the head nun at Carmelite, which is, I believe, cloistered. And she was the only one who could leave. And she's vanishingly small. She's like under 5 feet and pretty old. And gosh, I don't remember how long ago this would have been, but Nick would have been a much younger kid. And we were standing there. Tom had us sit with the family. And Nick brought this up just the other day. That nun grabbed Nick by the arm and held on to him the entire funeral, and then said, "You walk me to my car, young man." And he said, she's top five characters in his life. Just that made such an impression on him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I don't know if this is allowed, but I would love to do an interview
Oh, I'm sure there are some who can, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, she was on the show before.
Oh, awesome. Because we're obviously, like, none of us are Catholic, so we don't know what we're talking
about. Have you never been to the Carmelite?
No.
All right, I don't want to get in trouble here, because I don't know who's allowed and who's not. But it's on Ladue Road past, or maybe Clayton Road past the mall. And people just go in anytime. And there's this incense in the air, and it's dark, and there's maybe at any given time a dozen people in this big church just praying, and it's wonderful.
Very cool.
I used to go there quite often. Tom and I would go there. I got out of practice, but I used to go there quite often. You should go. It is so beautiful.
I would love to learn more about, especially like, you know, we were goofing around talking about the Sound of Music last week. It's obviously a pretty inaccurate depiction of what their lives are like.
Right.
But yeah, just making that decision.
I agree.
And not even just say, you have to walk the walk in that case. Like, there's no cheating there. You have to do what you say you're going to do. And I'm with you, Dave. It sounds appealing, but it's kind of like a diet. Like, you think about going on a diet and you think, I can do grilled chicken and salad every single day. That sounds delicious. And then you start doing it and it's so tedious. And you're hungry. And
there's still a few hermits in the Middle East who live in caves and they see people once every 10 years. And all they do is pray.
They just... And there's a certain amount of suffering that they just learn to deal with. It's so fascinating. Okay, on to something else, if you would like. Disclaimer, I did not read this opinion piece because I felt like the headline just said it all. A New York Times opinion piece claims that the real divide in America is between political junkies and everyone else. What do you guys think?
It hits me as true. I think that's a huge political divide.
Bigger than the divide between red and blue.
I don't know about that, because I think they would be related. And I would think that, you know how I always talk about the, used to be the 80 percenters with 10% on one side and 10% on the other. Now it's probably more like 20 and 20. To me, those are the political junkies.
Mm-hmm.
That the most fervent, zealot, Trump-loving conservatives and the most zealot liberal Trump hating liberals are the political junkies. I think you can be a wonk and a political junkie and not be extreme, but you're probably the exception to the rule.
So their rhetoric stirs up a lot of the divide, you think?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And they're the only ones that get airtime.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the funniest broadcaster. I'm not the smartest. I'm probably the most moderate broadcaster with the biggest show in the country, though. Who's going to give a moderate a show?
Mm-hmm.
I just happened to have gotten a show based on being a lawyer that then turned it into a comedy show, who then was forced to talk politics, who then realized that he was a moderate. If I today went to a big station and said, hey, my name's Dave and I'm a moderate and I see things right down the middle and I call balls and strikes, I'd like an afternoon radio show, they would laugh me out of the building.
So when you first started the show, how political were you?
Not very at all. And whatever political I was a Democrat. I was a liberal because I grew up with Jack and Francis, who were dyed-in-the-wool, blue dog, union Democrats. And I went to Wash U, where I learned that I was a liberal genius and conservatives are evil. And it wasn't until Bush Gore and hanging chads and covering that on the air that I realized I had any conservative leanings at all.
So one more question.
Mm-hmm.
When you were doing all those hits with Glenn on CNN and all that stuff, did you ever feel like an obligation to lean a certain way? Like now that you're quite a few years out from that?
No, I really didn't. And it wasn't so much out of bravery. It was more out of ignorance. I knew that I wasn't the most educated, smartest pundit he had on. So all I could be was me. And
being you is what got you there.
It is, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
like
he liked
being
that.
The non extreme.
Yeah, that's why I was on three times a week, because I would actually say something.
Yeah.
As opposed to just the same old stuff.
Yeah. I wonder if they would have pressured you to be more, because when you started, you weren't political, but neither was the station.
Neither was Glenn.
Yeah.
I mean, when Glenn started with us in like 2003, 2004.
Yeah.
He was me now, only crazier. I mean...
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.